Welcome to the Bringing Rural Back podcast, where we help you live a more prepared and sustainable life today so that you can have a better tomorrow no matter what. This is your host, Greg Carter, and this is episode number 53. We're getting ready to head home, about to hit the back roads. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about building community. But before we do that, let's get our chores done. I'd like to remind you about the listener appreciation contest. There'll be a link. All you got to do is click the link, put in your name, email address, and check a little box that says that you promised to share the show in some way. After we get 1,000 subscribers on our Feedburner stats, we will be giving away a $50 Amazon gift card, and then after that, we will sporadically be giving away some other cool prizes. It's just my way of saying thank you and everything. And I'd like to ask a favor, I guess, like for you to do something for me. If you enjoy the podcast after it's over, consider sharing it. Consider leaving us a rating on YouTube, Stitcher, whatever podcast directory you find us on. That'll help folks find us, and it'll help us a lot. With that out of the way, let's get into our main subject, building community. Now, this is something that you would think would be easy, but it's really kind of not. We live in a society where, especially in like suburbia, odds are extremely high that you don't know your neighbors. And in all honesty, you probably don't want to know your neighbors. But that's not good. You know, a neighborhood, a community, is built up of people not only that have location in common, proximity in common, but they generally have some other things in common too. Now, I'm not saying that every person that you come in contact, you're going to be able to get along with. And God knows that every community's got that person that everybody kind of avoids. We've got somebody in our community that it never fails that sometime in the night he fires up his Harley and he revs it just as loud as it'll go. It's, you know, it's not too close, but it is one of my closer neighbors, and it's close enough that I can hear it. And if I'm not in a deep sleep, it's loud enough to wake me up. If I'm in a deep sleep, I can go through it, but, you know. I mean, he's all right, but he just doesn't have consideration for others, I guess, but that doesn't go a long way. But the reason that you build community is it helps you out. And it helps them out. You don't even have to, you know, have a community barbecue or whatever. You don't really even have to have them over for dinner. You just got to be able to speak to them, know a little bit about their family, not a whole lot. You're not stalking them. But, you know, if especially if you're new to a community, it's just a good idea to go knock on somebody's door and go, "Hey, man, I'm Greg. I'm new to the community. How you doing? I live right over yonder. You know, I was just kind of trying to learn everybody and fill everybody out." And you just start a conversation about anything or nothing. Now, I'm not real good about small talk, so generally I'll try to find something in their yard or something that I can talk to them about that I have some knowledge about, you know. If they've got a certain flower. I noticed your flower there. I was just wondering, you know, later on maybe I could get a cutting or something. Or if they've got an old car, working on a building project or whatever. Well, now, what that does is One is you learn their name and they learn your name. As soon as you know somebody's name, there's automatically a greater attachment. And attachment's not really the right word. There's a greater communication, I guess. Right off the bat, you learn a little bit about them. You can feel them out. And, you know, if you've spent any time studying human nature, then you're going to be able to tell pretty quickly whether or not there's going to be somebody that you can get along with and everything like that. Now, you're not going to know if you can trust them or anything, but it's, you know, when you know somebody's name and you kind of know the vehicles they drive and stuff like that, if somebody odds sticking around the house, then you're going to be able to know that they're not supposed to be there. In our little community, the neighbor right straight across the way was a mom and her daughter, elder mom and a middle-aged daughter, I guess. And her sister and brother-in-law just lived down the way, and I know them pretty well. Well, they were, for a long time, they were living in Florida, and they were coming up here like one weekend a month. And so the sister said, hey, if you would, just kind of keep an eye out for us while we're transitioning, getting mama to move up here. I said, yeah, we'll do that. Not a problem at all. And, you know, sure as a whirl, there was somebody over there. Vehicle I didn't recognize. So, I didn't know their phone number. I had to look it up. Luckily, they were part of the same church, so I was able to look in the directory, call them up and go, hey, somebody's supposed to be over there at that house? No. I said, well, there's somebody over there. Okay, I'll get my husband to go up there and check it out. Okay. Well, come to find out, there was some folks that had figured out that the house was abandoned most of the time, and they had a camper trailer out next to their little barn there, and these people were breaking in the camper trailer. I don't know if they were getting drunk or doing drugs or what, but they were just messing around, messing some stuff up. Well, that simple act of looking out for my neighbor opened up a friendship that has developed between me and the brother-in-law. And, you know, we don't hang out or anything, but every time I see him, he waves real big. We know each other by name. I looked at buying a pop-up from him, but it wasn't in real good shape. But, I mean, you know, it's a community. And he's already told me, he always plants a big garden, I always plant a big garden, and we were talking about what we're going to plant. I said, my wife wants me to grow a bunch of green beans, but I don't really know that we've got enough room to produce everything that she wants. He said, son, don't you worry about it at all. He said, I'll give you all the green beans you want. He said, last year they put up 87 quarts of green beans. I said, okay, sounds good to me. So you create trade opportunities, especially with like-minded folks. Now, for those of us that are preppers, and I am a prepper and a homesteader, so I just want to put that out there. You know, there's a lot of people that their thought process is if something really, really bad happens, that folks are going to steal from everybody. Well, you know, there's some segment of the population that's just scumbags. I'm gonna give you that one right off the bat. They're pre-programmed to scumbag. And there's another section of the population that, if given the opportunity, they would be a scumbag. Now, what that percentage is, I really don't know. And it really doesn't matter. It's nowhere near 50%. I wouldn't doubt that the pure scumbags and the would-be scumbags is less than 25%, I would guess. But in general, everybody else out of that guessing 25% are reasonably good folks. You're going to have about the same percentage on the opposite end of the spectrum that no matter what happens, no matter how bad things get, they're always going to be good, upstanding people, no matter what. And then you got the folks in the middle that, you know, kind of they're a mixture of good and bad, but they're primarily good and all like that. And if you know somebody's name, if you know their family, if you've had a trade relationship, or if you know, even if you've borrowed a cup of sugar, as the old saying used to go, then you're a lot less likely to steal from somebody you know. And when you create that environment where everybody's looking out for each other, then everybody's better. And if the scumbag knows that everybody in your little community looks out for each other, they're going to avoid your community because most of them are opportunists. They don't want anything difficult. They want easy. I mean, that's all they want is easy. You know, they don't want a place that actually looks out for each other. That's dangerous. So you can build community if you attend a local church, if you're a part of a civic organization. You can build community and familiarity by going to the local high school ball games, just being nice to folks, waving, hey, how you doing, everything like that. But when you do that, you're going to realize that there's going to be some folks that you're just not going to connect with. No matter what, you're just not. And then you're going to realize that there's some folks that you really got a lot in common and you're going to connect with real well. So it's an opportunity to develop some deeper friendships with somebody right in your local area. Now, I love my local area. I love my community. I can go buy eggs, or a buddy from down the road, 2 years ago, we were talking, and I was talking about I wanted to add some figs to my property. He said, well, come on down here. He said, I got some figs. We'll dig you up some rootings. I said, okay. So I went down there and dug up some rootings, and I shared some pictures of the leaves as they're growing and everything like that. We may actually get figs off of that. And I got to hear the story of how his daddy planted the original fig tree, which is massive now, the year him and his mom got married. And you pay attention. You know, you listen to these stories. And you, hey, what kind of chicken's that? Even if you know. You know? And it creates an atmosphere which is conducive to joint support. Now, I'm not one of these people. I'm not real big on the idea of communal living, okay? Of, you know, 10 families buying, I don't know, 100 acres or 20 acres or whatever. and everybody holding it in joint and everybody sharing all their resources and all of that. I'm not big on that. Because when that occurs, a lot of times, a lot of times one person won't work as hard as another, doesn't care as much, a little more sloppy than somebody else. Somebody's a neat freak. You know, you got both sides of the things. But when everybody's got their own little piece of property and everybody's able to do what they see is best on their property and then contribute to a community of their own free will for a profit if they so desire, then that creates a strong bond in a community which outsiders cannot easily break. Now, we've got a gentleman in our community. He's from Iran. He fled Iran due to political issues. And he came to the U.S. and the first place that he went was New York. New York City. According to him, kind of a bad section of New York City. I hadn't delved that much deep into it. Well, he finally moved south. And he went to another city in the south. He runs a service station, gas store, or convenience store. And he said down there, he said it was so much better than where he was in New York. He said, but you know, he'd have people drive off and not pay for the gas. And he got robbed a few times and all of this. Well, then he came to our community. He said, this is great. He said, I've never had a single person drive off and not pay for the gas. He said, even if I don't know them. He said, everybody's been so friendly and so accepting. And I'm like, so I said, I know where he lives. And he knows pretty close to where I live. I don't know if he knows exactly. I said, so... He said, we're having to move. I said, oh, no, where are you having to move to? He said, oh, we had to move to a place that had two bathrooms. I said, oh, okay, did you buy the place? No, we're renting. I said, why are you renting? He said, I don't know how long I'll be here. I'm like, okay, so you just go wherever your company or whatever tells you to? Yeah. He said, but I don't want to leave. I said, well, you need to talk to him. I said, figure out a way to stay here. I said, you're a good man. I said, I like you. You know, you're part of the community. He said, I know. He said, I've never been so accepted anywhere in my life. I said, you just need to buy a house and just be part of the community full time. He said, I would love it. And I got to thinking, you know, we're, if you listen to the media, the mainstream media, we're a bunch of backwoods racist, hate everybody but white, Protestant, Anglo-Saxons, you know what I mean? We hate everybody. And this man, who has a thick accent, from Iran, which, you know, a lot of folks don't like Iran right now, and I understand why. Their political environment's pretty bad, but he said that he had never been so accepted in his life. He's joined the community. He's knitted himself in it, and everybody looks out for him. And I told him, I said, dude, I said, once you get in this community, I said, if somebody messes with you, they mess with me. I said, because you're my neighbor. He said, I know. He said, I've never felt this before. Now, just imagine, even with the current social environment, with everybody all worked up about the Islamic terrorists and all of the, oh God, all of the hate speech you see online and all of the stuff that all of these people say, that this man could flee his country and come to a backwoods little bitty hick town and just smile and laugh and go, I have never felt so welcomed in my life. And it's the little things that do it. And when we all work together, we're always stronger. Now, it doesn't matter if you're religious or not. It doesn't matter if you're Christian or not. I'm going to quote a little bit of Bible here. And even if you don't like Christians, even if you don't like religion at all, if you'll listen to it, it's true, no matter whether or not you believe in God, whether or not you believe in the same God I do or not, it doesn't change the fact that this statement is true. Where one will fall, two will stand. A threefold cord is not easily broken. That means somebody may be able to beat you up, but if you've got a buddy standing beside you, not so much. If you got two buddies standing beside you, you're secure. Even if one of the cataclysmic Hollywood styled, oh my God, it's the end of the world as we know it, events were to occur. Even if something like that were to occur, when you have a community that unites together, outsiders aren't going to be able to take you over. Not easily. Take some time. Get to know your neighbors. Take them some fresh produce. Offer to trade. Offer to rake some old lady's leaves. Even if you're only doing it to get the leaves so that you can put them in your garden as mulch. Be a good citizen. Get out there. Because we have to be ambassadors for our way of life. It doesn't matter if it's homesteading. It doesn't matter if it's preparedness. It doesn't matter what it is. We are the ambassadors. People look at us. They see the way we live. And they judge whether or not it's right. They do. They judge everybody who preps or everybody who homesteads based on the people that they know in their general area that preps and homesteads. You know, preppers have got a bad rap too. And some of them deserve it. They've got this idea that all preppers are just out from themselves, and if something happens, everybody else is going to starve to death, and they're going to sit inside their house with their AK-47 and just laugh as everybody else dies. Or the worst case scenario is not only do they going to keep all of their stuff, but they're going to try to steal your stuff. And that's not, that couldn't be farther from the truth for most of us. If it's a short-term event, grocery stores shut down, can't get any food, I got extra food, you're my neighbor, I'm going to feed you. If it's a long-term event, I'm still going to help you as much as I can without jeopardizing the well-being of my family. Now, there are some jacklegs out there. I know one in particular that he said, I'm not going to do it like you do. I said, what are you talking about? He said, I'm not going to store up a whole bunch of food. He said, I got some food. He said, I got probably a month and a half. But if it gets real low, I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to take my gun and I'm going to take whatever I want. I said, let me tell you something, buddy. I said, you go out there and you think you're going to take whatever you want when things are bad. I said, you're going to be one of the first ones to wind up with a bullet in your head. Because people will defend what they have. And if you try to break in somebody's house, they automatically have the advantage because they know every hiding place, every nook and cranny, and they know every ambush spot. Now, he just all puffed up. Oh, 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 oh. That dude's scum. He's just wannabe scum. He's not doing it now because, you know, all of the systems of support and the legal system's all in place. He really wants to be scum, but he's scared. Sorry, that just came across my mind. I want to encourage you. Develop friendships. Develop community. Trade with folks. Teach folks. Actually, the next episode's going to be on the benefits of teaching others. We don't have to share everything in common in order to support each other. That's a lesson that should have been handed down for generation to generation to generation. But if you look around, there's a lot of places where that just is not the case. And that's sad. I hope you enjoyed it. Like I said, if you did, please consider giving us a rating on iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever podcast directory you found us on. Appreciate it. Step by step, we're bringing rural back. Bye-bye.